Thank you. If you have your Bible, open with me to the Gospel of Matthew, the 24th chapter. I've been looking forward to getting to this chapter. This is the fifth discourse of Jesus in Matthew. The 24th chapter will begin in the fourth verse. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginnings of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take your word, that you would penetrate our hearts, Father, that you would draw us close to Jesus. Let us see your purpose for us in this day. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but this is a great day to be in God's house. It is a perfect setting. You actually had an extra hour to get here this morning, although you may have stayed up that extra hour and burned it last night. I don't know, but it's a great day, and I'm glad you're here. The disciples were excited about having Jesus at the temple. It was a great day to be there. They were excited about being in that place with him. You see, the temple was the place. The temple was the glue that held all of Israel together. The temple was the place that you would want to be if you were a Jew, and to be there with Jesus. Oh, what a great opportunity it was. The most stable thing in all of Israel was the temple. Now, this, of course, was not Solomon's temple. This was not Zerubbabel's temple. This was Herod's temple. Herod took Zerubbabel's temple and spiffed it up, if you will, decked it out. In fact, expanded it. It was still being built. It's kind of like the road system around us. They working on it all the time. And when they think that it's over with, it starts all over again. And so the temple really would not be completed until 64 AD. But how it was built. If you go to Israel today, there is the Wailing Wall, the last standing remnants of this temple. And you can actually today go into behind the Wailing Wall, and you can get very close to where the Holy of Holies would have been. And one of the things that is pointed out when you go on that special journey, you have to get special permission to go there. Our group actually got to go there, and you get to see these stones. They are amazing. They are 20 feet wide, 40 feet long, a quarried stone weighing as much as an untold number of tons. Just think, 40 feet long, 12 feet wide, 12 feet deep, 20 foot wide,
What would that weigh? Well, I wasn't going to pick it up, so I really didn't care. But how did it get there? And yet there it is. And the temple was built, and it took so much to build. How could it possibly ever be destroyed? But as they're in this place, and the disciples are talking about how grand it is and how beautiful it is, and indeed it was. There was gold all over the inside. There were tapestries everywhere. What a glorious place. Jesus shocked them by saying, "This place will be destroyed. Not a single stone would be left upon another." They thought it was impossible to build. It's still being built. How in the world could it ever come down? What Jesus told is prophecy. We know is history, and indeed it did come down. It did not find its completion to 64 AD, and in 70 AD it came down. It only stood complete for just a small number of years. The Romans came in, and the Romans under General Titus took the city. Now, his intent was not to take the temple. He wanted to leave the temple alone. It was so grand, he thought it would be a great gift for Caesar. But in the blood furor of the soldiers, they threw torches in the temple, and the tapestries caught on fire immediately, and it held the heat in as a kiln would, and the heat got to unbelievable temperatures. It melted all the gold that was on all the walls, and the gold ran in between the stones. How do you move such a big stone? You get money-hungry soldiers that see gold there. And they were able to move the stones one off of the other. So in that case, they were not left upon each other. So impossible. And yet Jesus told them this is exactly what's going to take place. And now we know it is exactly what did take place. And that foretelling of Scripture that was so unlikely that came true tells us that everything else he said is going to come true as well. Jesus gathered his disciples on the Mount of Olives. Now, the Mount of Olives looks kind of down across to Jerusalem. You go down the Mount of Olives. At one point, it was covered with olive trees all over the mountain, and then it came down into the Garden of Gethsemane, which was an olive garden, and it, that was all there. Now a lot of that is in gravestones. But you still come down the mountain, but you go up the mountain, and you know, that's a place to look over the city and a good place for Jesus to talk to his disciples. And he teaches them this discourse. They're asking him questions. He told them the temple was going to be destroyed. Well, hey, when's that going to happen? And that led them to talk about the coming of Christ. Now, I want to be very clear. When we talk about the coming of Christ in this context, we are not talking about Jesus coming for the believers. This is not Jesus coming in the air as a thief in the night, and we are all out of here. By the way, if you want to look it up, Revelation chapter 4, I don't know about you, but I'm gone. Jesus is going to come, the sound of the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised, and we will go to meet him in the air. What a glorious day that will be. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, I am ready. Listen. If Jesus is willing to come back before Tuesday, you don't have to vote. Yeah, you know, I want Jesus to come back. But this passage is talking about when Jesus comes at the end of the age. The world is broken down into three categories in this text: as the Jew, the Gentile, the church, and Jesus speaks of the end times as it relates to each one of those. In this passage, there's kind of a pattern in verse 7, for nations shall rise against nations. In verse 9, you shall be hated of all the nations. In verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world as a witness to all nations. Jesus is speaking of the end times as it relates to the nations of the world. And he tells us there will be problems near the end. In verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. There will be the problem of deception. There will be people deceiving other people, leading people away from God, leading people away from truth, putting out things and you don't even know what's true and what's not. Well, how hard is that to understand will come? Are we not in a world today where you don't know what is true and what is not? Trying to find accurate news is almost impossible. Who do you believe? What do you believe? All the stories come. Listen, if you're on the right, you listen to the right, you get what the right is. You're on the left, you listen to the left, you get what the wrong is. I'm sorry. You get what the left is. And you know, no matter where you are, you're not getting truth. So Jesus tells of a day when there will be deception everywhere and there will be very little truth. He says, many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they shall deceive many. You know, the world has a tendency to draw to dynamic individuals. Today, people draw to entertainers, but if they can find a dynamic person that's leading, they will flock to them. That's how Adolf Hitler got into power. He was a captivating speaker, and they followed him by the thousands and the tens of thousands. Bin Laden was in a cave and spoke mainly on the radio. It drew multitudes. America is ripe for heresy. People have turned away from God and His Word. The fastest growing religion today in America is Islam. It is catapulting forward in numbers. I'm not talking just slowly building. I'm talking about great multiplication. And there are people that are flocking to that which is false instead of clinging to that which is true. Hollywood promotes Buddhism and Hinduism. Meanwhile, the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses continue to try to increase their numbers. Heresy sweeps the land, getting people ready to accept the Antichrist. One that will come at the end who will seem to have all the answers. And people would say, well, how in the world will anybody fall for this guy? My goodness, look at what people are falling for today. How far can we be from such a time? Today, people have turned away in America from God and His Word. Churches are closing by the thousands. Church buildings are being repurposed or left abandoned. Church people have actually stopped calling themselves church people. They drifted away, went away, stayed away, and are nowhere close. How I praise God for you and how I want your numbers to grow. And yet in America, it is not happening. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Well, haven't there always been wars? Well, yeah. Haven't there always been deceptive people? Yes. Haven't there always been people that claim to be the Messiah? Absolutely. What Jesus is talking about, a quickening or a spreading and a proliferation of these things. I don't know if you're aware, but more and more there are people who claim to actually be the Messiah, Christ, and are building their own churches around the world, even in the United States. And people move to the false instead of taking that which is true. World War One kind of ushered in a period of wars and a proliferation of wars. And since that time, there has scarce been a moment without some war somewhere. People keep talking about World War III. How about World War 3000? I mean, you know, there's so many. Today, we are torn about which war to fight. There are the wars in the Middle East, and there have been wars in the Middle East, but so many and so fragile. Do you understand? One attack from Iran or one attack from Israel toward Iran, and the whole area could go up? It is that fragile. You know, we if you're of a certain age, you think of atom bombs like the one dropped on Japan, actually the two dropped on Japan, that wiped out over 70,000 people in less than an hour, is nothing compared to the nuclear weapons of today. So many times greater in the damage that they can bring, and how close is Iran? How close is North Korea? Hey, did you follow the big news out of North Korea this past couple of weeks? They now have missiles that can fire to any locale in the United States. They tested a missile that stayed in the air and proved the range that they can hit anything. Yeah, that's who I want to have a missile. Understand that our world is ripe for war, and our wars are continuing, and wars are so vicious and brutal. They always have been. The atrocities that were launched against Israel are beyond explaining. The viciousness, the personal attacks. And yes, these things are coming and are here. It's bad enough to think of Eastern Bloc nations with nuclear weapons. But oh, radicals. And then the dirty bombs that can bring a nuclear attack in a suitcase home to you. Jesus says you will see things in the end, but the end is not yet over. You'll see all these things building up, and we see all these things building up, but it's not time yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdoms against kingdom. There will be physical disasters. Oh my, the physical disasters. In the turmoil of war, other disasters will come. There will be famines. We should be aware that people are starving today in America. $75 million people are born every year. $57 million die each year by starvation. And it's happening right here. The average American throws away enough food to feed a third world family. Pestilence, disease. You know, medicines are getting better, so we think, but what medicines are doing is increasing the number of viruses and the strength of the virus, because viruses will find their way to go around the medications. And we see that taking place. We have new diseases, we have old diseases. We have old diseases we thought were gone that are coming back with a vengeance. And Jesus says they will come. You know, AIDS seems like something that is so old now, and yet it is still so deadly now, taking the lives of millions upon millions of young people. The main attack of AIDS is people that are under 25 years of age. Biological germ warfare. You know, the thought in warfare now is to be able to kill the people but maintain the infrastructure. So they're looking for ways that you can wipe out the people but keep the buildings in place. I don't know if COVID was an attack or not, but it sure felt like it. It gives us a kind of a glimmer of what a bio attack could be and how dangerous it could be. You want to know where the real threat is? The real threat is to your water. We live in a day when many cities in America are struggling to have enough water for the populations. That's now. Earthquakes. Oh, yes, there have always been earthquakes, but I don't know. It seems like they're reported so much that people just kind of pass them off now. In 2024, there were earthquakes in Hawaii, Puerto Rico, New Mexico, the Philippines, Tonga, in Utah, in Texas, in Guatemala, in Chile, in Canada, in California. There were 78 earthquakes in the United States alone this year. Sure, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Memphis, Tennessee, yes. Jesus says these are the marks of what is to come. Verse 8, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. That term, beginning of sorrows, the sorrows is an interesting word. It's the word for being a woman being in labor. Now, ladies who have been in labor, you kind of understand once it starts, something's coming. And just another warning to you guys, don't ever, ever, ever make the mistake of trying to compare anything you have gone through to a woman having a child. I know some of you have kidney stones and you want to claim it. Don't claim it. It will not do you well. But when those birth pains start, a baby is going to come. Something is going to happen. You know, they start off and I don't know anything about it. I'm saying that up front, but they start off milder and they get bigger and they get more intense, those birth pains. That's what Jesus says is going to happen. There will be persecution near the end. Those that know and live for the Lord are going to see greater persecution. We are blessed not to have seen what has been in other places of the world, but make no mistake, people are dying every day because they know Jesus. It is a reality. Jesus is saying his children will be hated. Well, things are moving that way. With the speech that you have heard through this political time, is it any stretch for you to think that people will hate believers? Or that many already do? If you stand for what the Bible says, you are called a bigot for standing for the Bible? The real issue is Jesus. You hold up Jesus and people get offended. We need to hold up Jesus anyway. In a free society, we should have the right to speak of Jesus. And even if society becomes unfree, we still need to speak of Jesus. Verse 10 says, then many shall be offended and many will stumble and shall betray one another and hate one another. This is saying people will turn away from the church and how they're doing that in America. John 2:19 says they went out from us because they were not of us. If you really want to know how COVID was able to clear the church of so many people, it's not a fear of disease. It's because they didn't truly have a belief in many cases. They reject the church because they've never surrendered their hearts to Jesus. That's why we need to re-evangelize our own church membership. Just making sure everybody knows Jesus. You know, if you've been through here, we want to make sure that you know Jesus. In the end times, it will be tough. And it will be tough to hold the name of Jesus. I am telling you, get your life straight with him now. Hold on to him now. Determine now that you will stand with him whatever comes. There will be preaching near the end times. Verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. 2 Peter 2:1, there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. I challenge you, as I challenge you often, make sure that the preaching you're listening to is according to the Bible. Take God's word over man's word every time. And that includes my word. If I am with the book, then I am right because God is right. If I'm off the book, I'm off. And many of you suspect that anyway. Churches will wax cold. You know, we are the moral compass of America. Christians are. If you take the churches and shut them down, where is the moral compass? Where is somebody to say this is right and this is wrong? And if you take away a moral compass, then what happens is rampant lawlessness. What happens in rampant lawlessness? Well, you'll have mass mobs going into stores and just taking things and walking out the doors. Oh, I think I've seen that somewhere. In lawlessness, you will have people crying for the death of holy nations. Wait a minute. Where did these mobs come from that are crying for the death of Jews in America? Jesus certainly knows everything that he is talking about as he knew it in that day. Iniquity shall abound, he says. And we are seeing as people turn away from God's laws, as they turn away from God's provisions, as they turn away from God's standards, you know what they'll do? They'll start killing babies and not asking anybody. They'll just get full-term abortions. How close are we? We're already there in some places. A lukewarm church is a church that's neither hot nor cold. Jesus says, I'll spew such a place out of my mouth. It has nothing to do with me. The church at Philadelphia was a soul-winning church, and that's the kind of place we need to be. We need to have it on our hearts and minds, and a soul-winning church is a church not only that talks about Jesus and coming to Jesus when you're here, it's when you go out there and talk about Jesus and tell people about Jesus. And that's what we must have. The Laodicean church doesn't care for the lost. Doesn't care whether people get saved or not. Can I tell you that this is the dangerous of a theology that teaches God has already determined who's going to heaven and who's going to hell? If God's already determined, why would you evangelize? And the church waxes cold. And new souls are not brought into the kingdom of God. You see, theology matters. In verse 13, he that endures to the end shall be saved. I want you to understand it's not enduring that makes you saved. And this is talking about people that are still alive at the end of the tribulation period. Those people will be saved. Those people that have stood for God through the tribulation. Will people come to Jesus during the tribulation? Oh, yeah, they will. In fact, there will be preaching of the gospel. God will put two people to proclaim the gospel that people will listen to. In Revelation 11, we find that Moses and Elijah, same guys that were up at the Mount of Transfiguration, are going to come down, and they are going to be proclaiming the gospel, telling about Jesus, telling about the cross, telling how people can be saved, and they will do it until they are slaughtered for all the world to see. 144,000 Jews will come to Jesus, and they will become evangelists all over the world at that time. And the gospel will be preached and people will come to Jesus and those coming to Jesus will be saved. Now, many of them will be slaughtered for their faith, but they will die in Jesus and they will be saved in Jesus. And when the gospel has gone to all the ends of the world at that time, the end will come. What do we do till then? We need to draw closer to Jesus than we've ever been. I know this doesn't sound like a cheery topic, and for a lot of it is not. But let me tell you, the truth is that following Jesus is right. Following Jesus is fulfilling. Following Jesus is the life you want, the life you need, and the life others must have. We've got to tell people of Jesus. We got to take seriously the times that we are in. We need to see the times, signs of the time. When is the end going to come? I don't know. You have somebody that gives you a date, then turn away from that date. Like the guy that wrote in 1988, 88 reasons Jesus will come back in 1988. Then he wrote 90 reasons that Jesus come back in 1990. He wrote three other copies of that same series of books as his dates came and went. Listen, I don't know when, but I can see the birth pains. I truly know without a shadow of a doubt, and this doesn't take a rocket scientist to say, we are closer to the coming of Jesus than we have than the world has ever been. Well, obviously we are. But the signs are getting ripe. They are before us for all to see. If you know Jesus, these are the days we must reach everybody that is out there for him. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's how we're fulfilled. That's how we're blessed. We rejoice in every person that comes to Jesus because this is real. And if you don't know Jesus, I pray that you will come to him. The clock is just ticking. Yeah, I know that we move it forward, we move it back, but the clock is still ticking. And your clock is ticking. If Jesus doesn't come back for 1,000 years, my friend, you will not be here to see him come. Because your clock is ticking, as is mine. Make sure you're right with Jesus today. Just come down and say, I want Jesus. We'll pray together. Jesus will come into your heart. He will save your soul today. As a believer, quicken your heart. Commit yourself anew. And seek to tell others that Jesus saves. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I pray right now that you will move within our hearts, that you will draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, some in this very room that have never met Jesus, and now is the time, and you've made it clear to them, Father, they know they need Jesus. They just need to step out and say, I want Jesus. Father, those listening that are not here, Father, that they might come to the same decision, that they might reach out and seek Jesus to enter their heart, forgive their sin, and to save their soul. And, oh, Lord, for believers, that we would take seriously the signs of the time, that we would walk in these days for Jesus. Guide us to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come as we sing?